This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying, space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding,
what's the whole network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to Michigan Wild's The Last 7 Days, a fall whitetail series that dives into the previous week of hunting. I'll recap my journey along with that week's guest that joins Michigan Wild. Follow along to hear all about the success, heartache, close calls, and challenges the fall brings, raw and as real as we can tell it. The fall of 2024 is upon us. Let's continue to make memories that will last a lifetime. The Last 7 Days is supported by Vitalize Seed. As hunters, we are primarily takers across the landscape. I like to feel Vitalize is a step in the right direction in giving back. Improving soil health and having the ability to feed wildlife throughout the year with its 1-2 punch of Nitro Boost and Carbon Load is a step in the right direction. Wildlife Legends Taxidermy, a top-notch company that was built from the ground up. Don't look back with any regrets. Put those memories on display. All that hard work and time spent chasing a dream is priceless. Be it your first trophy or that memorable hunt, I trust Wildlife Legends Taxidermy to keep that moment alive. Find yourself confused, unsure of a shot, or not find the sign expected after taking the responsibility of bending the limbs or pulling the trigger? Make sure you reach out to Find It Fred. Tony and his dog Fred are no strangers to tracking. Tony is another asset hunters can use to help recover their game or ease a troubled mind and ensure the mortality of their shot. The network of deer trackers in Michigan is a widespread and filled with very knowledgeable houndsmen. Take advantage of that awesome resource. Thanks to you for all the support from Michigan Wild. I can't believe another fall is here, and hopefully you enjoy another season of The Last 7 Days. Don't forget, to get out there. Here we are, week two of the last 7 days. What a great episode I just got done recording with Brad Speet. Doesn't get much hotter off the press than this. Recorded the episode and then rolled right into doing this intro for this podcast that's dropping tomorrow. Dude, he had his buck hanging behind him on the gambrel as we're recording this episode, and I enjoyed every minute of it. Great conversation. Thank you, Brad, for doing this, and congrats on your first bow buck. Public land bow buck. That is so cool, so rad that you able to seal the deal and do that. And it's a great episode. I mean, it's exactly what I wanted the last 7 days to be, just having guys on that, you know, can talk about their harvest or talk about their hunting that they're doing, real world, real experiences. And Brad's been on before. He joined me with Davin. We talked about, you know, pure fish and salmon. And not only do these boys know how to, you know, get the fish, they also know how to get the bucks. And they're no strangers to hunting hard and doing all those things. They're tore up with it. And it's a really good conversation for guys, no matter what you're at, where you're at in your journey, right? You're a new hunter or a seasoned guy. I mean, the things we talk about, we kind of elaborate on those at the end, like some of the points and the takeaways, is just good stuff. It's exactly what I want to hear this time of year. I'm fired up. I am already, my brain's going crazy on some of the things I can do, implement, go dive into some maybe pieces I've been thinking about doing. And it's got me just ready to go. And every day that ticks by, I feel like I'm pretty confident we're getting closer and closer to the best time of the year to kill a buck with your bow. So I'm here for it. Thanks, Brad, for joining Michigan Wild. It is awesome. Hopefully you all enjoy this episode. Okay. Dude, I cannot believe that. Look at that thing hanging up behind you. That's awesome. So what is he? He's a clean eight, right?
Yep.
Sweet.
He's 8 point. He was dressed out at 152, which isn't bad for an acorn deer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it. He was a big bodied and he was getting nasty. He had me all fired up. So
dude, love it. I'm drinking a camo canned Bush Light to celebrate with you.
Hey, so. There we go. I didn't have one. So
oh, nice. So how does his tarsal glands look? Were they pretty stained ready or?
Oh, he's stinky.
Yeah, it looks like they're dark from here. I can see him on the gambrel's kind of right in the middle, but
he was pissing on him a few times as he came in. He made a couple scrapes and peed in both of them.
Man,
had his back legs all tucked in, freaking.
Oh, gave him the show. Gave you the show.
Oh man, he wasn't leaving. I knew that.
Yeah. Well, how long do you? I mean, it looks like he's like what one? He's almost 120. Is he almost that? He looked big right here. How big do you think he is?
This angle's freaking sweet for him, that's for sure. But okay. I'll put him right around 100, to be honest. He's right there.
He's there. I mean, he looks like he's got decent G2s and G3s yet. Nice
beams. Oh, yeah. He carries some height. He just he's tight, and he doesn't have a ton of mass. But
is he pretty narrow?
Yeah. He's just barely inside the tips of the ears.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So He's a good 2.5-year-old buck. I mean, we ain't.
Yeah.
I
love it.
About it. I'll do it. I don't care.
Yeah. hanging there that way in the bucket, his rack looks giant. Like that. Oh. Like it looks a lot bigger than that.
So. Yeah. He's pumping young, dude.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Let's go. So, what is that? Like, is that one of your first public land bucks? I mean, you shot quite a few public land or what?
So, 2 years ago, me and my buddy Derek, it was like November 25th, I believe. It just snowed. That was the day I shot my first public land buck. But nice. The other two I've shot on public land now have been with guns. So this was my first archery buck on public.
Get some fist pumps for me for that. Congratulations, man. That's freaking awesome.
I remember, I was talking to Derek actually about that before the season. I'm like we have goals, you know, like a main goal of mine is to eventually shoot a Pope and Young. I get tickled freaking shooting these all day though. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I got to get to a point where I'm really willing to pass, you know, like.
That would be a really tough pass.
I mean, I got a couple bucks that are still around that I'm like waiting for, but I'm public, just not knowing exactly what's out there. And kind of experiencing it more. I'm a sucker for that. That's for sure.
That's so cool. And like you said, acorn buck and, you know, all that stuff. Like this is an egg country deer. I mean,
yeah,
that's cool. And to find a deer, you know, like
that's the funnest part. I mean, it will be a hunt I will never forget. That is for sure. Because it's the first time I like connected all the pieces of the puzzle that, yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, it all works out. There's still luck involved. I mean, I'm not sitting here being like every time I know what to do now, but when it chronologically lines up and this is how it ends, like every once in a while. So that's what I'm really excited about.
Too. Yeah. Things are starting to click like with how you want to hunt and how you break down a property, it's starting to work. And,
right.
You know, it doesn't mean you're going to succeed every hunt, but at least you can throw some effort at it and have confidence when you go in there.
For sure.
All right, well, let's introduce you. We'll get ripping. I'm sure this, like I've been doing the last few weeks, I kind of like how the organic conversation starts before we, you know, I don't like being so structured and all that stuff. So my guests are kind of at the mercy of whatever they say before we start, but I'll kick it off. So this is going to be week two of the last 7 days. Spur of the moment thing, because I've been doing just checking Instagram and any buddies I know shoot a deer. I'm like, let's get on and talk about it. Try to be as current as we can, like full transparency. Like we're gonna get done with this conversation, and I'm editing it, and it's gonna be sent off to get uploaded tomorrow. So I mean, you don't get much more up to date current events before a podcast, which I love. So last 7 days, week two, and I have Brad Speet or Skeet on.
Speet.
That's right.
A lot of people call it, I'm Skeeter.
Skeeter. What I was trying. So what's going on, man, other than having a sweet buck hanging behind you?
Still riding that high, man. I've been having a really good season, honestly. I mean, just having a lot of fun. That was another goal this season. I told my dad that too. I'm like, I'm just going to relax. Like the way, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to hunt a lot. So, you know, the opportunities come, it's just, you know, learning how to process the moment and get to that point. So it's just a very, it's been just fun. And this is the funnest point so far. So
heck yeah. Well, and I mean, from the outside looking in, you have like a elk hunt looming in November, like the prime time to be bow hunting in Michigan, your home state, you're going to be out west. So did that have any effect on like kind of your game plan here in October?
Yeah, it did. I didn't have an exact plan because I was watching cameras, which is the downfall of the cell camera in my personal world. Is like last year, I really was bad at it, relying on the data that you have at your fingertips versus finding where the freaking deer are. Like Davin, who was with me last time, you know, the old meat missile rig, but.
Mm-hmm.
He is very good at just, I found a decent spot over here. I'm going to just literally cut off the road, find fresh sign and hunt near it. I'm not going to go to the pin. And whereas I'd find something, I wanted to go hunt that pin because I had it all figured out less on the fly. So that's that.
So this year you're kind of like, cause you're not a stranger to hunting public land. Like you've experienced that and done it. So with this year, you're like, hey, I want to be just a little more, I don't want to use the word lax, because I do something very similar. Like I'll drop pins and it's like, I really want to like go scout that and see what I find. But if I see something I like better or something, like even it could be a tiny rub or a tiny scrape, I'm like, oh, I can go, I'll go investigate. Like it's pretty easy for me to like, you know, break off and do something. And I do the same thing when I'm out of state. Like I'll drop very few pins until I'm like, walk it. Like I got to walk it before I start scattering stuff. Because same thing, like I would drop a pin somewhere and be like, oh yeah, north wind. I got to be sitting right there because the deer are going to do X, Y, and Z and just ride the hole kind of a thing. And I just kind of got burned out from that approach.
It made me feel like I was sitting in the stand again. Mm. Like, you know, venturing off of private to public, there's like a freeing kind of, it's not freeing, but it gives you that deer hunter, you know, instinctual kind of thing. well, you know, finding spots became, you know, you have so many spots at some point where you're kind of like, you're overwhelmed and you're not effective. So like a lot of us were just kind of like, let's narrow it down to a couple spots we're going to put effort into.
Yeah.
And that's how it all kind of shook out with this buck. So
sweet. Well, let's jump into that. So kind of like break us, you know, what day did you shoot this deer? What was like the calendar date?
It was October 15th.
Yes. So October 15th. So that's perfect.
Yeah. That's yesterday.
Yep. So let's back up, you know, approximately a week before that. How much hunting were you doing like the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October? Were you hunting still then?
Oh, yeah. I had picked up a new piece of private that had a buck that was daylighting on that like first little cold front we had.
Yep.
He was out there that first morning. So that Saturday morning, actually, I went out there to hunt him that night and I ended up getting a doe at like 20 yards before I even climbed my tree. And I shot her off the ground. It was not in the playbook that night, but we audibled to the opportunity. So
so you shot a doe. Would that have been like the 11th or the 12th? Like, I guess the 12th was Saturday. Did you shoot the doe then? Or when did you
shot it on Thursday that week, I think.
Well, the 10th. Okay.
Sure.
I'm just trying to break this down as best I can because it kind of helps me with my dates too. Okay. So, yeah, you're right. We got that cold front kind of in that second full week. We had a cold front, I want to say Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there. Because I shot a doe the next morning. And then, yeah, you shot one shortly after I got one. And, yeah, okay. You smoke city that thing.
Yeah, and in the freaking chest, out the udders, and into the back leg. I was like,
oh,
sorry, girl.
Yeah, so you were, like, walking into your spot and kind of, like, just happened to see her before she saw you or what?
Yeah, I didn't walk this since like February or something when I met up with the landowner, and I wasn't paying super close attention to the bark on the tree. I was more just, you know, walking, and the leaves weren't on either, obviously. So I come in there blind looking for a spot, and I come out of the pines and it's just oaks. And I'm like, oh man, all right, where's a good, here it is, boom, climb up a white oak. And well, I didn't get climbed up, so I turned around and I see the deer trail that I kind of was trying to set up on, because I wasn't getting them on my camera, but I knew the deer were there. So I'm like, I'm going to play it back and check it. And then sure enough, seen like 15 deer that night that only one of them hit the camera. Mm. Camera story again right there.
Yep.
I turn around, I see two deer coming down that trail. So I just tucked behind the tree, throw my backpack on the ground, knocked an arrow, and she came to 20 yards, and I frontaled her because that's what she gave me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's effective, man. If I'm on the ground and give that opportunity, I'm sending it every time.
Every time, dude. I've done it twice now, and it has not failed me at all. Blood's great, and they don't go far.
Yeah, and there's so many YouTube videos out there that you can watch too, and you can kind of get a feel for where you got to aim, right? Like, you do have to aim in the right spot. It's not like, oh, hey, just plop it in the front, you're going to kill the thing. No, you have to kind of find the crease where the neck and the shoulder meet, dump it right in there, and yeah, it does some mass damage, destruction.
I hit the heart, lungs, and then went straight through the liver, stomach, and it was
not a fun gut job, but
effective.
Yes. Oh man. Well, I do want to kind of, you know, you talking about the trail camera thing, because I have a very similar thing that's I've been realizing the past like 2 or 3 years. Perfect example. I have a camera on this one of my first mock scrapes I made. It really fires up with bucks like towards the end of October, November, like you would think. I always have does on it. And then, like, I noticed over years, there'd be like tons of buck sign all around this camera, but I wouldn't get the pictures of the bucks. I'm like, that's really weird. Why is that not happening? So, like, I started hunting it, and like, I hunted about 50 yards from that camera, and I saw three separate 3.5-year-old bucks that walked within, I don't know, 50 to 60 yards of that camera. It just isn't quite the sweet spot. And it's kind of an area where the deer don't really, it's not really like a pinch point. There's not a trained feature. It's just like there's just this mock scrape, and the doe's like kind of cutting through there. And the there's just lots of room for deer to do deer things. So like, it's almost like a luck of the draw when a buck does walk by it, because he can literally walk anywhere in there. So yeah. I kind of had to learn that, you know. And if I would have been sitting here hunting, like, it's middle of October, you know, the 16th right now, if I relied on trail cameras to hunt, I would not have seen any of the deer that I've seen so far. Like, I would have seen maybe because it's just so hard. Like, you know how hard it is to have a camera sitting in a spot that you can leave there all year and have deer on it consistently year in, year out? No, dude, you can be off. 50, yeah. Like, I'm not that good. Like, I don't have that ability to be like, yeah, this is the spot the camera must be. It's like, no, just some years, maybe I feel like a rock star with it, but like most of the time it's like, inconsistent.
If I get a buck once a month, honestly, on some of these scrapes that actually came in and worked it,
yeah,
that means I should have been hunting there. Yes. And my buddy Derek actually did it this year. He went back through all his, I think you can put like an AI filter on your cameras where you can, or on your app or whatever, so you can just see the bucks.
Okay.
So he dated, he went through each spot, got all crazy with it, and like what bucks, what days, blah, blah. And that is the only reason I could see myself honestly keeping a bunch of cell cameras next year, is to just leave them where they're at. So that time frame becomes when you target it, not what is on the screen.
Yep. I love the historical data. Like, that as well. For cameras, like, I feel like as years go on, I feel like I have them in good spots for like end of October, you know, like rut locations, and those happen. And then there's a few cameras mixed in that are, you know, field edges, or they're on like a spot that like deer just always end, if they're in the area, they're going to end up walking by. It could be 10 o'clock at night, could be 3 a.m. Like, those cameras are very, very valuable to me, because then I know if like Mr. Big's in the area, like, okay, for example, I want to say it had to be right around that same time. I could probably look at my phone here. I got a picture at like 5 a.m. of this buck that I'm targeting, and he was going into this one area, and I was like, okay, he's there. But I have another camera where he was going, never has been on that. He hasn't been on that camera in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe. So that is one of the reasons why I hunted that night, where I didn't see him, but I saw three other 3-year-old bucks. And like, it was a spot where I could, like, I was in the cover, but it wasn't like a super aggressive move in the cover, but I could still see really far into a wide open field. And okay. I was like, oh, there goes one. But because of the wind, I couldn't hunt any of those other spots. So like, I was in the game on one of them, but not all of them. I could see like 400 yards. So, you know, any deer in the area that was going to be on its feet in daylight, I had a pretty good opportunity to see. But none of those deer were on any of my cameras. Like, they somehow avoided, like, I was like, how do I not? I'd watch them go through, and I'm like, okay, they have the spikes and the 6-pointers and the does are going right by them. But those deer. So part of me is like, do these deer learn to avoid cameras as the season goes on? It's so interesting to me, because it's been happening. It's like more and more every year. And now these are cell cameras. I don't check these cameras. Like, two of those cameras have been running. I haven't taken them out of the woods, and this will be the second season they've been out. Like, I don't have SD card cameras where I'm checking them all the time. Like, these are cell cams. Like, they got solar panels on them. Like, they don't need to be checked, right? It's interesting.
I've actually, in my food plot in my backyard, I put an SD camera on one end and a cell camera on the other. I had, you know, your smaller, your nonchalant sixes, forks and spikes and does on the cell. Every buck that came through that food plot that was, you know, 2.5 or better, would not, I thought it was the glow. Yeah. And I got to, these stealth cameras are supposed to have like low glow.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like I think for sure that those things give something, especially like if you're not on like a Lakoski farm or something where like the deer are somewhat regular and used to things. And Iowa's, you know, we'll say different than Michigan too. There's less pressure. There's this and that. I had a doe walk in front of a cell cam across over here today, and two steps into the frame, pin that thing. And I'm like, what the heck?
It's
all summer, and then I moved it, and then I put one back in there just because I wanted to check, you know, ins and outs of this whole field.
Yep.
And she hit that, like, literally the second it started taking pictures, she was just like locked. I'm like, what the heck?
Yep, it's interesting. I did experiment this year when I did I want to say this was probably the week before Labor Day. I went through and did move every camera but one, I put at least 6 or 7 feet off the ground. Just because I know a lot of these guys on public land and other people put them really high up, you know, to keep people from getting them. But also, I was like, they say they don't have as many deer look at them because they're like out of their view. I'm like, I'll try it. Yeah. Mixed results. Like, I get pictures still, but it's not like it's been a game changer for me. Like, I still seem to be similar. So,
yeah.
Well, let's move off the camera thing and talk about hunting. Yeah, no, it's fine. I think it's really good because the point you made is exactly the thing that I like have been doing differently in the past 3 years. Let's just say 3 years ago, I was like, oh, what's up with this? Because I would do what you said. Like, okay, I finally invested in cell cameras with my dad. We got more than like 3 or 4. We like, you know, tripled our inventory here.
Yeah.
Let's spread it out. Like, let's hunt this way because we have limited time. And then, you know, for 2 years, it was kind of like, this is fun. We're hunting spots, but like, if it's dead, I find myself not even wanting to hunt. Now it's like, hey, the weather's right for this spot. I'm going in. And it's like, oh yeah, they're here. It's the deer are still there. They're just not going by the camera.
It's incredible.
It's interesting. So, okay. So second week of October, you shot a doe kind of in that front part of it.
I shot one the third, one the 10th. I shot one an early doe.
Yeah. So you're slaying.
Yeah, we're slinging arrows. That was me and my buddy Scott. We're going to Colorado. We're like, before the season, I'm like, I'm an opportunist. I'm like, I need to get some, like, you know, just confidence. And so, like, I can go and be stress free. You get some deer down thing. But then EHD kind of hit pretty bad that first week of the season. We all started kind of finding some deer. And the number one deer I was chasing on public was found dead. I mean, I had a couple pictures of him, and I really wanted to, like, try to see what I could do. There was a few other people come to find out, knew about him, and they actually knew about him longer than me, and they had some cool pictures. It was kind of cool to connect all the dots and see and hear and all that stuff. Sad he had to go that way. I would have much rather seen any of those guys myself holding that buck, or any of my buddies, too, obviously. So, either way, we all kind of got a little bummed out there for a week. We still hunted, but, you know, we're like, what are we hunting? Are we starting over? Do we still got some stuff we're looking at? Like, blah, blah. Same, you know, the normal crap with when you got a disease you can't do anything about and the way she goes. But so I went and hunted that Saturday morning, the spot that my camera's at that hadn't had a buck on it in a while. So I'm just like, what's going on? First light, nice. I could see a buck that had good rack coming right in. And he was at about 40 and it was like gray. And I'm like, I can't tell what he is. And then I hear him eating acorns. And then he needs to take 10 steps and come back to my right. And I'd have had him at like 25 yards. Instead, I can hear his footsteps start going again. And he's heading back to the north, which is the wrong way. Finally catch a glimpse of him, probably, you know, 100 to 150 yards somewhere out in the oak brush. And still couldn't really tell what he was. Good buck. So wind wasn't really my favorite. I tried to go back in there that night because it was just blowing so hard and crazy that I was like, you know what? If they're moving, they're probably moving pretty quick and maybe I can, whatever. Hopeful that he was in that spot bedding. Never saw him that night. So finally this week, we get that cold front. It's north wind, so I actually texted David and I was like, what do you think? How should I attack this area today? He's like, check that other scrape. No camera on it. Haven't looked at it since. We found it when we were in there scouting in the summer. So I kind of cut a trail off the road, got on some decent sign, you know, some, you know, fresh poop. You could just tell they'd actually been on this trail. Followed it. Of course, it kind of ended me right by that scrape that I was heading to. So I set up, you know, wind wise off that, sat it. And then like a half hour before dark, I catch a solo deer about 150 yards back to my west. And he's, you know, I'm enough times you've seen it where it's actually a buck. And, you know, so he's acting bucky. I'm like, that's that freaking buck, man. The mystery buck. I said that to somebody that night. And so, that'd be Tuesday, which is the 15th yesterday. I text Davin because I left that night. I'm like, I'm splitting the difference. I have to get that way. I don't know. And whatever. So I dropped a pin, and like halfway through the day, I'm second guessing myself. I'm like, I'm going to go over there and he's going to show up over here. So I text Dave and I'm like, this is what I'm thinking I should do. What do you think? And we have that saying, stick to the plan. And that's what I did, and went in there, found fresh sign again off the road. And the Monday and Tuesday, because I knew I was heading into like where they were betting, or where I thought they were betting, I'd walk like 30 yards and then stop. Just kind of glance around, make sure I wasn't seeing. If something was running, maybe I can get a glimpse at it, or hopefully I could see it maybe, or, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to be effective and quiet. Got in both nights. I thought very quietly, and the second night, I went in there and did the same thing. I got, you know, like another 200 yards in, and I wanted to go like 300 or 350, I think it was, off the road. And the sign was just cash, like poop everywhere, acorns falling. A huge frickin' scrape that had a fresh rub right next to it. I'm like, deer are here. So I'm like, oh crap. I start looking at trees. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get off the ground. I go to the first oak because I had a kicker tree branch that I was gonna saddle up next to. So I had some cover.
Yeah.
I set my bow down and there's poop everywhere. I'm like, I'm not climbing up this tree. I'm like, I'm gonna go another 20 yards this way.
Yeah, I can't be that close. Yeah.
Right. Which I ended up getting right by a oak that had a pine tree behind it, so I had pretty sweet
nice
cover, and got up on there, and I actually text my wife. I go, you feel that? And she's like, she texts back, she goes, no question mark, I want to watch that documentary I tagged you in. And I go, and I didn't see the rest of the text because it was like no text, and then the like she was typing, and I go, tonight, the night, and they both sent at the same time. So she's like thinking, I'm like, hell yeah, let's watch this documentary.
Oh man.
She's like, oh sweet, okay. I don't know how we're gonna get it. And I was like, no, like I'm gonna shoot a deer tonight.
I'm shooting a deer.
Oh. She's like, I hope you get your deer. And I was
eye roll. Okay.
That, that was supposed to be a lot cooler.
But I want to take a moment and like, why do you feel like that was the night? Because I hunted Tuesday night, and wow, was an awesome night in the woods. Like, holy cow, I saw some great deer, a lot of deer, good movement on their feet early. It was a really good October. It's October lull, quotation marks, and I saw deer on their feet hundreds of yards away from beds, and like for an hour, like feeding and stuff. So, what to you made that day somewhere where you're like, I'm really confident?
I think I've been locked in for like a week. Like I got daylight bucks on cameras, which I know I'm not focusing on that, but if they're daylighting on the cameras, they're daylighting not on the cameras too. And I'm just like, I think I said it to Derek last week when we were hunting, or last Friday. I'm like, dude, I've been locked in for like the last two hunts. Like, I'm ready. Mm. And he's like, oh, we all are. And I'm like, I know. Like, I'm fired up.
Yeah. Then, well, north wind, right? There was a north wind.
What really had me feeling good that it was going to be tonight is like, I just had an optimistic feeling about that shift I made, you know, it's pretty much triangulated two scrapes and onto another one. And I'm like, the one that has my camera on, I had does running it all day. There was back and forth. There was does and fawns cruising that trail with that scrape. And that, I was like, there's deer there. So I'm just going to go find where they're at. And so then, like I said, I ended up about 150 yards behind where I was Monday night. Yep. And I'm set up, and it's like 5:45. And I like look to my west. I look back over to the north. And I'm like, oh man, like they're going to come from one of these spots, like, because there's a scrape there and they're bedding over here. They're bedding over in those pines too. And I look back over and there's nothing there. And all of a sudden, boom, he pops right up from like behind these pines.
Wow. He watched him get out of his bed.
Yeah. He literally woke up.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fudge? I'm like, so I grab my, that's a buck. I'm like, I can tell it's a buck, but I can't tell. So I get the rangefinder on him because I forgot my binos. And I'm like, I don't know if he's there. Like, if he's a 6 point with, I don't know what he is yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll shoot a 2.5-year-old, but it's got to have 8 points. Like, that's, and it's got to be roughly about this size. That's, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. So it's like, boom, he disappears into the pines across from where I stood up. I can't find him. So I'm like waiting for him to pop out the other side of there, going to the south. Whatever, I give up on that because I was watching for like 7 minutes, and I'm like, I gotta stop moving and like focus again. Because
you're doing like the aggressive like lean, like okay.
Oh, I'm like
down,
like,
up, over.
I'm like leaning back in the saddle, just trying to see. I'm like, where are you?
Oh yeah.
And I look back over here, and then I hear like a ting kind of. Mm-hmm. I look back. He's at like 70 yards now, just raking a tree. Up and down, top to bottom, and I see his G2 swing, and I'm like, grab the bow. I'm like, it's over. I'm like,
yep,
dude, he needs. I'm shaking now. I'm freaking fired up.
Yep.
He walks. You know, now he comes into like, you know, 55, and just stops again, heading at me, and I'm just like, God, please, just keep him on this line, man. Like, keep him coming at me, please.
So is he? So are you? You're in a saddle. Is he on your strong side the whole time he's coming in?
Oh,
okay.
Gotcha. I angled that way, so I was not still you can set up as perfect as you think you can, but they might come to your weak side. But I definitely tried to. I put the scrape was probably about 40 yards to my like southwest.
So your left, like your left shoulder. Yeah.
Yep. That north northwest. So it was pushing me back to the road off of all. Yep. And
so if they looped into the scrape, that you were still safe with your wind.
Especially if you cut the wind or something, then that was my hope. It ended up working out. It doesn't always, you know. But so he's making that scrape, piss is in it, like guts all curled his like back legs in, just you know, he's like fired up. He's
Was he raking the ground too? Was he pawing? Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Straight to the dirt, flinging leaves. I'm like,
not only are you the mystery buck, you're an 8 point, and you're 2.5, and you're making a scrape in front of me. You're doomed, man.
Dude, the only thing he's doing is making me so fired up, I might freaking miss him. And
love it.
Yeah, and so it was good. Like, I was calming down. I was getting used to it. I was in the moment a little more. Like, I wasn't as, like, my legs are still, like, weak knees and everything, obviously. I still have that adrenaline, but I was starting to calm down. And then he gets to that point where I'm, like, he's at, like, 40 yards. So I'm, like, this is game time. Like, he closes another 5 yards. Like, it's over for sure. 40 is like, I'm like, I'll shoot it if I have to and there's clear. Mm. I like him 35, 30 and in for sure.
Yeah.
But he cuts at like 38 and I'm like, oh gosh, you're not getting away. So I instinctually draw. I shouldn't have because he stops on some oak shrubs and then just cuts right back. And I'm like, oh crap. And so I'm trying to, the let off on new bows, just don't get used to it until you don't want it. And I'm trying to get it. And it won't. So I'm like, all right, I'm holding it. He's coming. Boom. Stops at like 18 yards behind an oak tree and starts to do another scrape.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just full draw. That was already, a minimum minute and a half that I was already drawn.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm like, no matter what way he goes, I'm going to have a less than 20 yard shot at this deer. And I don't have a camera rolling right now. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, thank God. I forgot to flip the camera on my phone, so it was still facing forward.
Oh.
He's head down on this, making the scrape, and I'm, like, leaning my body so I don't let go of the bow and push my ring finger on the record on my phone.
Oh, my God.
Start recording when he's making that scrape. At this point, I've been drawn for, like, 3.5 minutes. I'm shaking still. I'm still thinking this is going to somehow get wrecked. And, like, my vision and, like, in my head, I'm just, like, losing it. Like, I'm, like, coming in and out. I'm, like, and right then I, like, tilt my head back. I'm, like, get it together.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like, I look back down. I put the kiss around my lip, and he makes those last few steps. And at, like, 16 yards, I'm just, like, boom, on him, let it go. And it hits him, and it doesn't have that distinct pop.
Okay.
And I'm, like, you can hear me say not words that I should say on my video. I'm like, I don't remember what I said, but it was like not
a lot of adrenaline. Yeah,
I'm like, I think I hit him in the guts. Well, he took off sprinting and stops. And he has that hunch, slow walk with his tail just fluttering, like, oh, crap. Well, I ranged one tree. I'm, like, grabbing another arrow already. I have it in the bow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that tree is 32 yards. If he stops by that, I'm putting a 30-yard pin on him. I'm putting another one through.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there, and he stopped. And I'm like, he flinches. I'm pulling. And lap his back leg, like, move, and I freaking hit him again. Boom, I hit like back of the ribs out the front.
Oh, perfect.
He just took off sprinting, and I'm like, oh my god, what just happened?
You got two arrows in him that
I
quick?
Put two in him. One time I shot a really, really nice 8-point, bigger than this one, with a 12 gauge at 92 yards, smoked him in the side. I like very excitedly got down and ran across the bean field and looked down the ravine.
Yeah,
and he's doing the death dance down the bottom of there. And I probably was like, yes. And like, you know, I walked back to the edge of the beans and was on the phone and just walked away. Didn't even think about putting another one in him. Never found that deer. Yep. I must have spooked him, and he got a freaking jolt and took off. And I rumored, someone told me they found a really nice 8-point in the drainage ditch on the next corner. But
yeah,
either way.
From then on out, you're like, I'm shooting until I know.
If I have an opportunity, I'm putting it in. So
yep.
I'm the second one hits him, and I'm just like ecstatic. And I'm just like listening. And then I hear the freaking, he hits something, and then you hear the tumble and the crash. And I'm like, I don't ever say anything until I find him. But the last three times I've 100% heard them crash. And gotten there and found him, and I ended up double lunging him on the first shot and then shooting kind of high on the second one. So
you overkilled him.
Oh yeah. He probably honestly would have walked and tipped over if I wouldn't have shot him again. But you know, I didn't know that.
You were pumped full of adrenaline and
and the dead meats. The dead meats freaking put holes in them. I mean, you can say whatever you want, mechanical, whatever, but I love them.
Yep.
And his guts fell right out of that freaking hole right away. Because I did go high and out the back. So his exit hole was right behind the diaphragm. But I hit the top of the first lung, bottom of the second one.
Oh, dang. So he was smoked.
Oh, he was done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I use dead meats. I have a quiver full of arrows. I have two dead meats and two fixed heads. So like, I love for a mechanical broadhead. I like the littler, like the mega meats or the giant ones, you know, but I like using those little dead meats that, like I've said it before, it's like, you know, watching Predator growing up with that triangle laser. That is exactly what a dead meat does to a deer. It cuts like a perfect hole. And the same thing when I use the Day 6 Evos, they're they're non-vented. They're a two blade with two bleeders. They do a very similar thing. It's not quite as big, but they pop. I want a broadhead that doesn't flap. I want it to like pop a hole like a slug,
right,
you know, going through, so they can't close up and you get good blood. So yeah, I'm all about it, man. And if you have the proper arrow flight, proper arrow setup, you can get great penetration with those as well.
Yeah, I'm only shooting like 550 grains.
That's where I'm at too.
Enough with yeah.
So what's crazy, you say only 550. I weighed an arrow that I used like a decade ago, which that's kind of making me seem old. Let's see what that been. I think it was 10. I would say, I'd say like 2014-ish, 16, somewhere in there. I'm 34. Come on.
I meant your arrow weight.
It was like 385.
Wow.
With 125 grain broadhead.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I was shooting Outlaws with 100 grain broadhead, and I think they were like 350.
Yeah, so like we are shooting 200 grains more than we did back then, you know. So like only 550 is like, no, like only 350 is what it used to be, you know. And no wonder why I'd hit a deer, my arrow would explode, and I'd get like 3 inches of penetration. You know what I mean? Like it was just, and my arrow is flying through the air like a noodle, you know, like you hear guys talk about. So no, that's awesome that you got two shots in, high pressure, right? I mean, bows pulled back for a long time.
Yeah.
Your setup worked for, you know, like hanging hunts are not easy. Like you have to pick the right tree and be set up on the right side. And You know, everyone can say what they want about saddle hunting. Like, I love saddle hunting, but I much rather shoot those deer on the left side of the tree than the right side of the tree. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I shot that at 40 yards at a doe weak side. And I was in a tree and she was coming out of this pines. And yeah, it's tough to shoot weak side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's doable, but there's some big adjusting. You need to kind of be ready. And usually you don't have that time.
No, there's a big trade off. Like the saddle hunting does have a big trade off. Now, tree stand hunting, like I did a lot of hanging hunts at a tree stand. There's a big trade off there too, where the deer come from behind you. If you don't that perfect and you like know the deer are going to come from over there, so you kind of set your stand up in a way where you have cover from the tree, you know.
Yeah.
And then if that deer goes on one side of the tree, you got to do a big spin around or a big over the, you know, harness thing. So, I mean, nothing's perfect, but
when
you do a hanging hunt somewhere you've never been, a tree you've never been to before, and a deer comes in like that, oh gosh, dude, it's just tough to beat that. In public land, first archery kill. Yeah. In October, lull, working straights, you know what I mean? Like, dude, that doesn't get much better than that.
Dude, it's awesome. I am just ecstatic with this deer.
Like, yeah, that's sweet. So where was he bedding? Like, what was he laying down in that you saw him get up? Was it like?
It's a big oak. It's like an oak savanna, if you want to call it. Dave and my buddy calls it that, and that makes sense. It's all like that 3 to 7, 8 foot tall, small oaks, thicker, really thick. And I'm kind of on like a transition between oaks and pines. It's kind of a good mix. And it opened up a little bit to that scrape area. And then it goes back into pines. I can't say exactly. I know. Oh, the other cool part is he was sitting like 80 yards downwind of that scrape that had the does just going nuts on it all day.
Oh.
I didn't even plan that to be part of it. But when I think back on it, it lines up. He was south of that scrape, like almost like southeast. So perfectly north, northwest wind hitting him right in the face. So weird.
He knew exactly what was going on over there with his nose.
Yeah.
Was there any terrain at all, or was it pretty flat?
No, that's when you were talking earlier about like just being in a flat, no real, like deer can just get up and do whatever they want to do.
Yep.
It just happened to be that those were the acorns that they were hitting right then. And he was bedded like right in the pines and oak shrub area. Like sure enough, I saw him the night before. There was a million places he could have bedded. And you know, I might have saw him take his first two steps, but he was 100% better right within 150 yards of me.
Yep.
Like, he popped out of nowhere, and he was going up. He wasn't going forward. So, I mean, it's like,
that's
so and he closed good. It from 130 or whatever, somewhere right there, all the way to 16. And just to have, like you said, to have it all play out. And then I've been preaching to myself and mainly preaching it to others to keep myself held accountable to the camera thing. Like I said, I haven't had a buck on that camera since the second, but every time I hunted there, I had a buck. Whether he was 100 yards or almost shootable, I saw it bucks. So,
yeah. That's good, dude. I mean, that is mobile hunting 101 right there. Like, I think that is what drove me to like pursue it for the first time. And all these guys talk about you scout your area, you can like hunt your area down. And you see what your eyes are seeing, right? Like, I saw a deer over there, and then I pivoted over here, and then I seen him over there. Well, what's the wind doing? What's my access like? And you can kind of put all these pieces of the puzzle, but it all comes down to you having a setup that allows you to climb essentially random trees. Like, these trees, you don't really know what it's going to be like. Because, you can pre-scout spots and do all that. Well, guess what? You pre-scout a spot, you set a camera, and that camera's off 200 yards. You got to be able to make that pivot to go fill a tag.
Right. And
mobile hunting lets you do that.
I don't do much. Like, even on private land now, like, I'm still, there's definitely days where I'm like, I don't feel like climbing. Like, I want to go find a tree.
Yep.
And then you get set up, and you know, by the time you're climbing down, what was it, an extra 20 minutes, and it's nothing at this point. It's like, it's so natural. Like I said, there's still days when you're like, you just worked and you're running out to the stand, and you got to still climb and do all that. But
I got another great example of this. So I have one preset that I have around home, like And then north of my place, that's like an hour and a half away, I have a couple of presets. Uh-huh. The one preset that I hunt right by my house, it's quick. Like you said, like get home from work late, I can sneak into it. Or if I want to hunt in the morning, I have a preset and I got shot a doe out of it. I've shot deer out of it. I have really nice deer on camera there. I was getting this picture of this buck. Like I've got him on there a couple times and I was really intrigued by like time of day I was getting him. And then I walked out a little different after a morning sit and I cut his track in a spot that I was like, interesting. And, actually I cut his track on the way in and then I just hunted the preset, 'cause I was like, oh, low on time, blah, 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 whatever,
yeah,
whatever excuse you tell yourself. And, I was like, God, and then I was like, okay, I remember that track. The next, I hunted that another morning, 'cause I had him on camera again, all nighttime. There was a few daylights in there. And I was like, okay, that's enough. Like I've thrown two sits at him where I was really confident, didn't see what I wanted to see from deer movement in general, got down, did a little scout on the way back to the truck. And dude, it hit me right in the sign hit me in the face, like 80 yards away. And I was like, you dummy, if you would have been walking in with your backpack and your stuff on, you would have seen that track. And what I normally do is like, go follow that track, right? Like,
yeah,
that's where he's going back in there. Like, he's going to bed. That's a, you know, a track that he did either at night or in the morning. I would have walked over, found this transition area and be like, oh, there's the rubs. There's the bigger scrape. Oh, there's all the stuff. Like you were just saying, the deer crap and that oak must be dropping right there and they like it. And I mean, we're 80 yards off. And now I'm like, you son of a gun, you probably missed your early season window essentially on this deer because of a dumb preset. So that's the only private land preset I have here in, you know, around the Grand Rapids area. The rest I force myself to hang it up because it's just, you don't get, you're in, like you talked about, you're locked in, you walk in, if you see something or, you know, you like how many times you hunt a preset, like, oh, that should be a good wind. And then you get, that wind's not quite right. Well, if you have your mobile hunting setup, you can just go 20 yards over. Or like you said, you like, I'm going to sit up in this tree, look down. No, I'm not. I need to go 20 yards that way.
Yeah.
That is so crucial. And those little moves make, I mean, I'm convinced the reason I have the success I do is because I hunt private land without presets. Like I force myself to like walk in slow. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, like you go 30 yards and you look, you just like marinate, like you let the spot marinate. You walk and get up. It's like, oh, there's a rub. Oh, there's a grave. Oh, there's this. Yes. So you do that kind of stuff. Like that, I think, is just, you get a preset, you just walk to it, right? Like you're like, oh, yeah, it's right there. I'm going to hurry up, get in my spot, and, you know, set up. You know, right. Like, I'm a proponent for that same kind of a thing.
I heard someone say, I don't even remember if it was a podcast or like a short video, and they said it like, but it actually like pissed me off because I'm like, how? They said, they go, you know, hunting and like hoping gets boring. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, I like knowing, or like give yourself the confidence. It's not even like being cocky. It's like there's a lot of damn time, miles and hours put in stuff. It's not like I just popped up here and like, and anybody like you, my buddies and all the guys that do this stuff and that probably do it far better and more effective than I do, they'll tell you like it is not what you did that day. It's everything you did before that day.
Yes, that sir.
Puts you in the game. And then it even can put you in the game, but then you still have to do like what we just talked about. You have to do that little bit of tweaking, like something stupid like a NASCAR. The wind changes that day. You got to adjust your fender to, you know, to ride.
Yeah. Better. Air pressure in your tires. I mean, it's little.
Whatever. I don't know anything about it.
It may seem stupid, but yeah. No, it's a great point, because what do you do when you go fishing? Like you guys are big, you know, you're on talking mostly about fishing last podcast, but I mean, the way you guys are breaking down, like, oh, it's this kind of a day, I'm using this thing and that, you know, follow that little current, or like David's talking about, like looking at the weed line or the, you know, what's floating on the top. Like, well, like one day it's one way, the next day it's something different. You got to make that little subtle change. And that all comes from like experience. Like you're making decisions based on subconscious that you don't even probably realize that you're making them, but you're making it because you've been there before. Like you put yourself in the shoes, even like even for you, like, yeah, this is your first archery, you know, public land buck, but the sum of all the hunting you've done over the past few years turned into that moment, right? You took advantage of your resources. You surround yourself by good hunters, people that want to see you succeed. You got the right gear that you were confident enough to do what you had to do. Like, there is so much that goes into filling a tag that's why I love it, man. That's why it's never gets old. And you got to hold your bow for 3 minutes and hold it together.
I did never practice more than 40 seconds, but I did see a video. It was actually about elk hunting out west. Okay. With the bow, he's like, you can hit a freaking target all day long, all the way out to 60 yards and in, and be a freaking 100%. But all you're doing is pulling back, shoot. When that bull's at 20 yards staring you in the face and you can't get a shot and you're pulled back, if you let off, game over. He's like, train yourself to hold your bow back. So, you know, I didn't do it enough and I never probably could, but I did, you know, do a couple times where I like 20 to 30 yards, I would hold that thing for like 40 seconds, which
yeah,
I could feel that. So it was, you know, whatever.
That's a good point, because I don't practice that. Like, I've had to hold my bow. Like, there's been a few times where, like, I've never done the 3 minute or the one. I don't even know if I've done much over a minute, but it is a mental state. Like, when I pull the bow back, like, I'm like, I have to tell myself, like, you're going to hold this. Like, you got to wait for it to clear. Like, the doe I shot, that deer was coming through the leaf cover and stuff. I couldn't really see the deer. Kind of saw some legs. The fawn was out in front. And I was like, okay, I'm pulling my bow back right now. And I had to, like, hold it back and just kind of chill, you know, wait.
Yeah.
Stepped in the clearing. Then I bring up to my anchor and do my process. And I never doing that. And I was like, it's kind of weird holding my bow back, like, down here, like, below. Like, usually you just pull it straight back to your anchor. And I'm like, I'm just kind of, like, chilling here. Like, this is – I never seen how weird it felt. And that's a good thing to practice, especially as we start getting later in the season with less cover and, you know, more layers potentially on. Like, that's, yeah. I like that.
And the thing that kind of sucked is I have like a serving, my serving on my bottom cam on my cable is like, it's fraying. I have strings on order from my buddy Aaron. And then I have like a hairline corner fracture on my freaking limb.
Oh,
and my buddy's, he's like, dude, if it's right on the corner and it's just the surface, you're golden. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. But, you know, in my mind, that's all I'm thinking about he's like, don't practice a lot. But, you know, if you shoot 3, 4, 5 more deer, you'll be all right. So I'm only 5 shots, dude. I know what he means, but when I'm overanalyzing it and everything like that.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. That's what a cool thing to think about at full draw.
Yeah.
That airline crack and that serving.
I'm like, just hang on, brother.
You can do it. Oh shoot. So what's the plan with this buck? Are you European mounting it? Are you shoulder mounting it? What are you doing?
If he had, I mean, it, like I said this a couple times last night, he could be a million things, but he's mine. And I'm jacked about that. So but, I mean, honestly, if he had another 10, 15 inches, I'd probably shoulder mount him. But I got two other public land bucks that I've mounted that are bigger than him.
Okay.
One by a little bit, but definitely a little bit. They're, you're that 110 range, so he's nice. He's probably 95 to 100, honestly. Like I said, that angle makes him look sweet. But
so are you do those yourself, or do you bring them somewhere to get your
own? We did it last year, and truth be told, it kind of sucks. And for $50, there's a guy that I can go drop it off to, and he lets the beetles eat it. And that's plenty good for me,
dude. I'm the same way. Like, could I do it? Do I have the tools to do it? Do I have a power washer? Yes. Do I have a desire? No. Like, that is, I got some buddies that enjoy it. You know, like, they'll be cleaning their garage out. Well, they got this thing soaking, and boy, they're cooking this thing, and they can pick at it. And they got the system down. Like, that's good for you guys, but I can just go drop it off to a guy, and even if you want to pay a little more, they'll like bleach it for you and do all that other stuff. I'm like, yep, sign me up. Here you go. Thank you. So
if it's reasonable and it looks good, I'm in.
Yeah, I do really like European mounts though. Like I got four of them or five. Yeah, I got four up here. And I have a buck that I'm targeting this year, and he's like, in my head, he's a European buck. Like, he's 4.5. He's wide, short tines, hasn't changed one bit since he was like practically 2 years old.
Really?
And, he's gotten wider, you know, like, and more mass, but his tine length is just minimal. But he is a horse. I saw him actually the 15th, And okay. he dwarfed the other bucks that were out there. Like, just couldn't quite get close enough to him. And, you know, the north wind's awesome, but I also got to have a good spot for a north wind and
yeah.
get it about as much as I could. And yeah, I was like, ooh, when I laid eyes on him, I'm like, oh yeah, he's a shooter. But he's a European buck. Like he's not getting a shoulder mount. You know, and he could surprise me. Maybe he scores a little more. It's not necessarily always about the score for me. It's more of an age thing. And once right. a certain buck hits a certain thing, I'm like, okay, yep. And there are some deer that, you know, I'm crazy, but or I don't know, that's just not crazy, just the direction that we're going. Like, to be honest, I would shoot, like, let's say I have 3 4-year-olds. If there's one that's like a big freak bully, nasty buck, and then a beautiful symmetrical deer, and you're like, you gotta pick one to shoot right now, which one are you shooting? I'll be like, give me that bully buck. Like,
yeah.
what could the other one be at 5? Like, that's kind of how my brain works with certain deer.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't always have the luxury of which one walks by. So, true. You know, I don't like, I'm an opportunist with, hey, which one decides to walk by me first, you know? But like that buck would be sweet. Yes, exactly. Yeah. On the fall. Yep. On that podcast talking about it. But I mean, this deer he could be 5, but I'm pretty sure he's 4. But dude, I was just like, you know, cool. Like to have that. He's like a Northern Michigan buck, you know, like they get like the dark antler, big mass on the base, their beams sweep out really good. They just got all tines are like the same height. Like there's just no stair stepping at all. Just like, hey, we're all gonna be 5 or 6 inches. Like
shade.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Buzz cut. Yeah, they're all the same. So like I in my head I was like, that's my European buck. So
yeah. I mean similar philosophy, just not I think one day I will. Like I'm all about steps. Like I'm at like different points. I gotta check things off. So like I'll eventually get to the point where I'm starting to like get things nailed down or find out things, and I'm definitely going to progress to the point of like aging and being more concerned with that, but it's just not me right now, that's for sure.
No, dude, it's a progression. I love how you said use the word progression, because that's what it has been for me. Like that is exactly what I went through. Like I shot my fair share. Like if it was a racked buck, kapow, you know what I mean? Like I shot it, bow, gun, didn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, and then I did exactly like, and just because I did it, maybe a little, we're similar in age, you know, I'm older than you, but it's like, it doesn't matter at what point in time I did it. There was just a point in my life where I was like, you know what? I want to do this. And then guess what? I stuck to it, even though it sucked. It sucked for 5 years. I stuck to it, you know? And then it's like, okay, 3-year-olds. And it's like, okay, now I'm like, hey, let's go 4-year-old. Well, guess what? You know why I can do that? Because it's a realistic goal. Right. Yeah. You gotta have a realistic goal still. You can't just be like, it'd be like, all right, I'm not the next buck I shoot in Michigan is a 170 Booner or bust. Like that is not a realistic goal, but age class, that is a realistic thing for me to chase. Like doesn't mean I'm going to do it every year, but there's deer for me to target. And I had to search my tuchus off to find them and get the right permission pieces or whatever it may be. But that progression is fun. And that's, like you talk, like me and you've talked off air, you know, like you've got some great bucks that you're chasing and history and doing all that. It's like, you're doing like, dude, that's what I do every year. Same formula, same thing. Go find them out. And you know what? Who cares if that buck's a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, that memory is going to be with you forever. I'm here for it.
Heck yeah. I appreciate that. A lot of guys, you know, age people sometimes get a little nutty about things, but I mean, I'm here for everybody. I don't care if you shoot bikes or 4-year-olds or 170s, whatever you're doing.
Yep.
I love it. And as long as it's hunting, that's great. So
I love that. Well, dude, I think that's, I mean, this is, you know, being the last 7 days, I try to keep these episodes a little shorter, even though we're pretty dang close to an hour already. let's end this on, you know, going into the third week of October. What is your kind of like, MO, is there anything in particular you got planned out, or are you going to kind of take it easy for a few days? And because you got the elk hunt coming, what's kind of going on the next week of your hunting, I guess, season?
I got like 4 bucks right now. I'd really pretty much are only going to shoot those 4 bucks until like end of gun season. If we start doing deer drives, I kind of, you know. I'm not trying to shoot a spike, but you don't know what's going to happen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to have have some fun in that. But if that, if that's what happens, then yeah, that chase is over. But I like, I got a buck I call DH. I was watching since last year, and he's a nice buck, and he's like the private land deer for majority of the season. They kind of got to be more than, you know, they got, there's a couple, because I have like two or three, 3.5 year olds that I know,
yep,
are in and out of my cameras. I will hold for those, that especially after having a, you know, a decent buck down,
yep,
that a lot easier too. So
do you have a realistic play, you think, on any of those deer here in the next week?
Rut, I have a food plot I put in late season that's got a pretty active I made one of those like rubbing post scrape trees.
Oh yeah.
I took a white pine branch, I augered a hole like 3 foot down, dropped that in there, and I drilled a hole through it, and I put a white oak, white pine, and maple branch, and I've been putting DH3 on stuff that's been working pretty good for me this year.
Yep, I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
I don't know what it is about it, but it,
so they gotta share the like Krabby Patty formula or whatever. They gotta yes. Their whole thing was White Boy Summer, but this
yep. Yeah. Krabby Patty,
not that SpongeBob Krabby Patty formula.
Yeah, it works well, man. Box straight game's cool. Yeah,
I love it.
I mean, it's, so dude, so, I'm trying to think. So 15th through like the 22nd, let's just say, I get a lot of my mature bucks will start being consistent on my mock scrapes coming into like the 18th, like the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. I will all of a sudden go from like not much, kind of like what's been going on now, to all of a sudden, boom, they're hitting them hard. So
oh, yeah.
If anyone, yeah, if you want to plan your week coming up, if you maybe have some historical data, look back at your camera pictures. If you happen to find a buck that's still alive that was like hitting them hard, that 3-day window, 4-day window, dude, and if you got weather patterns line up, go sit one of those spots. Be there before the camera takes a picture of them if you
oh, have yeah.
like that, because it works.
I think I had them on November 9th, which I'll be –
You'll be killing elk.
Opening day of elk season. I'll be in Colorado. But he's in the area. And I've spread a lot of cameras out keeping track of him. And he disappeared for about a month from like, you know, that third week of September until last week, I believe, I started getting him again. But I got a neighbor across the street. And he's actually over there. I actually bought 5 tree stands from him last year. And we've kept up with each other, just, you know, keeping track of bucks. Like, I'll be stoked if he shoots one. He'd be fired up if I
yeah.
did. Like, he's a good dude.
Dude, I love that. I'm a proponent for that, too.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
Become like, friends I'm with your neighbors.
To, yeah, dude. He's a cool dude. I hardly know him, but we're, like, tight. So, that's mm-hmm. cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really want – if there's one I wanted to hunt, and I think I'm – I have a shot at them in this same time frame you're talking about, because it's heavy doe bedding in like my area right here.
Mm.
And I'm kind of getting some, you know, historical, kind of getting it. It's a little dangerous for him this year, I think, but I'm not saying he won't outsmart me again, but I do have a little bit more confidence trying this year. And I have a couple tactics that I think, like my buddy Derek's got a decoy. I'm not afraid to pull that out. It's the spot kind of like a big CRP field. So if I could get a little noisy, get a little smell going on that thing, I've seen it work. So
yeah. And that's a great time to do that. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I tried calling a different deer in the 15th, and I had this 8-point, probably 115-inch, 3-year-old. He was all pissed off. I called him across the field. He was like 100 yards farther away than the deer I was calling at. And, you know, rip on a grunt, do a little snort wheeze, and nothing crazy. I just kind of do once and done to see what happens. The bigger deer just kind of like looked up. It was a European buck. He kind of looked up at me and was like, oh, hey. And then went back to doing his thing. And this 8-point marches 100 yards further away. Dead straight walk, do all the way to me. I'm like, you son of a gun. Like, I don't want to shoot you. I'm the other one. But if I was like, what if I had a I actually thought that. Like, what if I had a decoy? Like, I was in the woods a little bit, but I was like, maybe if I could have like did my setup a little different, put a decoy there, they come through, and then I do that. That might be the what I need to. I'm not afraid to do that either. I shot my first buck with a gun using a decoy. So
heck yeah.
I like decoys. They're cool.
I seen two guys do it last year and both shot good bucks doing it. So,
well, if you do that, you're going to come right back on and talk about it.
Oh, so. Man, I'm all about that. That'd be sick. But yeah, then I got one I call Kobe. He's just a big wide 8 point. He's probably 3.5. If he's 2.5, I wish I had the patience because holy cow, he'd be sweet. Yeah. But I think he's 3.5. I think I had a picture of him last year as just a skinnier wide 8 point. Mm. But I can't confirm that. I know DH is the same buck, but and then I actually had a really nice 8 point pop onto a scrape tonight on another public spot. Ooh. They're both of my public spots kind of suck because the good wins for both of them, so I can't do both.
You have to like 50-50 flip it for it.
Yeah, gotcha. So the one I've been at is just kind of what I got blown at in a weird wind on the first sit on the other one. Mm. It was supposed to be northwest, but I was just getting this like dead southeast kickback for some reason. I think it has pine thermals and crap that I don't fully understand.
And leaf cover. Ugh.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of times if you get that, like, if you get a strong wind that just kicks out, like that tail end of that wind, like, just bends back down, and you get that, like, even though last night it was a pretty sturdy north wind, if it cut, it sucked me straight back south, and I was like, oh gosh, like, that's where it's gonna come from now. But it didn't. But that's how you feel.
Yep. No, you're right. I've noticed the exact same thing, especially in early October when you have that leaf cover. I don't know if it just suppresses the wind just enough when it gusts, but you get that really hard pull in the back. Like, I guess maybe guys, when they say backdraft, that's probably what they're referring to. But I notice it much more with high winds than I'd ever do in like a low, consistent wind. Like, it's when you get that big gust. It's like, all right, I'm sweet. I'm doing good. And then it's like, where'd the wind go? And then you start grabbing milkweed. It's like, it's going the wrong way. It's like, no.
180.
Yes. Yep, it is. Well, dude, hey, that sounds like you got a couple good deer to chase. That's always a positive. I mean, one of the blessings of having two buck tags in the state of Michigan, which I love. Like, I mean, I want to shoot big mature bucks. Like, I'm all for that. But I would be really sad if I don't have two buck tags. I couldn't imagine getting out of deer in early October, like that, like connecting, right? And being like, yep, my season's done. Like, I'd be like, I go out of state, who cares? I only hunt for like a week out of state, but like my home state of Michigan, like, I like having two buck tags. It's awesome.
She's like, well, now if you shoot another one, you're done. So what's it going to be? And I'm like, don't stress me out. I just passed level one, man. I'm trying to enjoy it for a day.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, dude, congrats once again. Hey,
appreciate
great,
it, man.
Great episode, man. Appreciate you doing this. I think there's some good nuggets in there. Like, I really do. I know when you try to tell a story, it's kind of hard to, like, remember exactly what your thought process was. But, I mean, essentially it was you stayed consistent. You were smart with how you got in and out, clean, you know, quiet as you can be. You know, learned what was in front of you and, like, reacted to what your eyes were telling you. And the experience, I mean, that's good stuff, man.
Big shout out to Dave, and I know he's going to hear this, and he deserves it.
Chrome is gold, baby.
That's right, my boy. That dude has taught me a lot. He says I teach him things, but I don't believe it, and I owe him a lot of thanks to he pretty much last Saturday made me, like, understand that, like, dude, you got to stop going to pins. And he said it in the most nonchalant, polite way when it was just like, duh. And it clicked, and within 3 days I was on freaking box again, and it was a lot of that is, you know, whether or not he gave me the tools, he gave me the confidence, and like, he was there to, you know, tell me what I needed to hear. And the dude's a solid man, and he deserves the praise. And same with all the other boys. They we've all kind of helped each other, and it's been a really cool ride. So I would feel wrong not saying thanks to all of them too.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, and like we talked about before, you're part of the Half Ass Hunting podcast. Make sure everyone goes and gives that. Yeah, the cat. Let's go. Yep. I love that. Takeaways. Go check out them guys on, you know, social media. Make sure you surround yourself with like-minded individuals. Have yourselves a friend group or whatever that you can bounce ideas off of. I freaking love it. Like, talking to a buddy and be like, it's north wind, I think I'm gonna be aggressive, and I got a buddy, it's like, let's go do it. Or then another guy's like, are you sure, like, you did that before and it worked? You know, it's really good to have that differing opinion.
Oh yeah.
And then number three, have fun. And number four, practice holding your bow at full draw. Like that is a really good idea. Yes, that's a really good thing. I'm gonna implement that. I know I've like if you said it, I was like, oh yeah, duh, but I've never like really done it before. Like just hold it back and then try to execute a good shot after. Like that's good stuff.
Something you don't think about 100% until you hear about it, and that's something hit me like that. And that, yeah. Don't trust the cameras. That's the big one.
Yeah, that's another one. Number five, don't trust cameras. Number six, be more like Legolas. You got two arrows and a buck and, you know, sub 30 yards, around 30 yards. Is pretty
half
cool.
Elf or something.
Yeah, you want a little elf in you. All right, well, hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate
absolutely,
it.
Man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this rendition of Last 7 Days, Week 2. Hopefully you guys are finding success in the woods. Hopefully you learn some things on this, and then, you know, moving forward throughout the fall and throughout October, I feel like every day that ticks by, we're getting to the best hunting. So stay focused, stay positive. Look at those weather fronts. Look at those old trail cam pictures, whatever you got to do to go have a good, fun, successful hunt. And don't forget to get out there.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.